Amen. Thank you for that beautiful offertory. I'd ask that you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, please. And here in a minute, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 7. I really am amazed how God puts messages onto our hearts to relay and then how they are received. And again, I thank those who had come to me after this morning's message. It was certainly an encouragement to me. Of course, it was nothing of my own doing. It was all God that led the message this morning, but I do appreciate the words of encouragement. Once you found the book of Romans chapter 8, give me an amen. And the past few weeks, and I've had some things just personally that have been up and down, as many of us have, and through some various aspects of life, I'll say some personal trials, I was reminded of this message here. And so now we're going to discuss the enemy within, the enemy within. Maybe I'll get an amen out of this. This is not a long message tonight. It's not a long message. We'll all be able to go and have dinner or watch, who's playing tonight? Oh, I think that, I ain't watching football. The Chiefs are playing tonight, so I got a free evening, but this won't be a long message, but I believe it is an important message. And so the Bible tells us here in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Heavenly Father, again, I just lift up tonight to you. I pray for our congregation. I pray for our pastor. And I just pray for myself. Settle my nerves. Help me relay this message. Just be with us. We ask for that hedge of protection. We're thankful for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, there are two forces which we must deal with in this life. Satan and what the Bible calls the flesh. Years ago, there was a comedian named Flip Wilson, and he would often make a statement about something that he did wrong. And he would say something like this: "The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it." And in fact, how many of you here tonight, if you're brave enough to raise your hand, have made the exact same statement? I'll raise my hand. The devil made me do it. Satan made me do it. That evil force made me do it. Church, let me just tell you, the devil does tempt us. And he does appeal to our carnal nature. But here it comes, folks. He does not make us sin. The devil does not make us sin. Oftentimes, whether we realize it or not, he is not the source of our temptation. But instead, we are tempted by our sinful natures, that sinful nature that we are born with. I love the book of James. In James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, it declares, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Folks, Satan's attack comes from without. Think on this for a moment. His attack comes in the area of false teaching. His attack comes in the area from false churches. And he often uses others to attack us, to disillusion us, to cause doubts. He often uses others to play on our weaknesses, and he certainly enjoys using those who call themselves Christians but who are carnal to place stumbling blocks, to place those stumbling blocks in our paths, in our way. And hey, friends, this is also good to know. Satan's temptations come to both the lost sinner and to the child of God. He tempts the sinner. He tries to keep the sinner from having his sins forgiven. He tries to keep the sinner from trusting Christ. And he tries to keep the sinner from receiving eternal life. But to the believer, he tries to prevent them from living for Christ. He tries to keep them deep in their sin. He accuses them. He brings up past sins. He brings up their failures in and out of their Christian lives. He infects thoughts, always appealing to their carnal side. And now the other source of trouble is referred to as the flesh. And this source comes from within us. It comes from our sinful nature, or as we may know it, our carnal nature, that each person, each and every one of us has been born with. So what is the true nature of man? Some falsely conclude that man is a god with a little g, an embryo. Other people say that man is basically good, but his environment causes him to do wrong things. How many times have we heard that? And we live in an age that everyone tries to blame someone or something else for our problems. I mean, just pay attention to our news media. Just pay attention to social media and those postings and so on. And by the way, don't get your news from TikTok. Probably it'll stir the pot here a little bit, but men today rarely accept their failures or their sins. Seldom taking responsibility for them. They conclude that they are not to blame because they did not have a good childhood, or that they were born to some ethnic group, or quite honestly, there are a thousand other reasons for their lacking of taking responsibility. Men do not take responsibility for their failures. And then you have this. Others say that man is bad, but all men have a spark of good in them, and that all we really need to do is change man's environment to educate them and to fan the spark of goodness. By the way, the late Norman Vince Peale was the one who made that false idea popular. Robert Schuller, the false prophet of the Crystal Cathedral, carried that false message to thousands of lost souls on television each and every week. He deceived and caused others to believe his lies. In church, the way to determine what is good or righteous is to ask God, who is the only source of truth. God is our source of truth. It is God who created us. My dear friends, he is the only source of truth that you need. He made this earth. He tells us plainly what is good, and he clearly informs us of what is bad. Folks, he truly wants the best for us. And whether we enjoy it or not, he warns us of the consequences. He warns us of the results of our sin. So what does God say about this subject through his word? If you would, turn back a little bit. Go to Romans chapter 5. And we'll see where the Bible says that every man is born a sinner. Romans chapter 5. Just look right there at verse 12. And it tells us right there, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Let's drop down to verses 18 and 19, and it states there, Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Thus God says, man. That's meaning every man, every woman. That's meaning every boy and every girl are born into this world as sinners. I love you all. I look out here. I see halos all on your heads. But you are all dirty, rotten sinners. Just like this preacher right here. And as the descendants of Adam who sinned against God and who plunged the whole of mankind into sin, you see, our sin nature came from that man. It came from Adam. David really makes the point clearly there in Psalm 51. If you were to look at verse 5, it says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Look. David is not talking about the act of reproduction. Instead, he is talking about the fact that he was born a sinner. His mother and his father were sinners, and they passed their sinful nature to him as their offspring. And Jesus said that a bad tree does not produce good fruit. I think you all know, or I would hope that you all know, an apple tree cannot produce oranges. And all of life produces what it is. The sin nature came from Adam, and when Adam sinned, the whole human race was plunged into sin. Go back to verse 12 there in chapter 5 of Romans, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Man, lost or saved, is tempted or led into sin from his human nature, which seeks to gratify itself. You can refer back to James chapter 1 for that. The Bible calls the source of temptation lust, meaning desire. It is man's desire to seek after that which will destroy him. And folks, there are steps that lead to sin. There are specific steps, or A, man's desire entices him. By the way, temptation or having a desire is not sin. But man's desire entices him. B, then the person yields to the desire or seeks to satisfy his lust, and now it becomes sin. The temptation was not the sin, but what you do with that temptation can become the sin. And by the way, folks, the end result, as we know from Scripture, is death. And most, if not all of you, do know that verse, because Romans chapter 6, verse 23 clearly tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, we do know that verse goes on and gives us the good news. But the lost man or unbeliever is in their sins, and they are under the penalty of those sins. And because his sins have not been forgiven, he has only one nature, and that, folks, is to sin. Only the born-again believer who receives the indwelling of the Holy Spirit has God's nature. Oh, this is so very important. The lost man does not have the nature of God and therefore can only sin. For the lost man, even the good things like charity or kindness are done in the flesh and not in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thus is not righteous in God's eyes. And it is sad. But it is true. That unbeliever cannot please God. Because you see, that unbeliever, he has denied Christ. His sins are not forgiven. And he does not have the new nature. So how to overcome sin? The saved man, the believer in Jesus Christ, receives a new nature, baptized by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 5 tells us, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." This gives the believer the power to overcome any sin in his life and begins the indwelling of the very presence of Christ in the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 3, it says here that Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" That Spirit is capitalized in the Bible. Chapter 6, verse 19, same book. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Multiple questions in that verse. Acts chapter 10, verse 47, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" See, baptism is a one-time act done after one professes their faith in Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. But filling from the Holy Spirit, it can be multiple. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Two things are clear here. The saved man receives the Spirit of God, which is that new nature. He then can perceive and do spiritual things. Number two, the unsaved man does not have the ability to understand spiritual things of God. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The saved man is a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." God says that the Holy Spirit is actively working in the believer's life to help him overcome sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So when temptation comes, the believer should look for God's means of escape, should look for his means of escape, the means that he has promised to provide. And God also says in 1 John chapter 1, there, verses 8 through 10, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive others, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Therefore, when we confess our sins, God promises to work in helping us to overcome this sin and to cleanse us all from all unrighteousness. I hope you believe this if you're a believer today, but certainly God does not leave his child alone. Instead, he is there at our side and in our hearts to help us. Therefore, my sweet, sweet friends, we do not have to sin. Yet when we do, God helps to grow stronger as we helps us to grow stronger as we obey Him and as we mature in Christ. I told you this message was not long. We're going to close here. Satan is not the only source of temptation and sin in a person's life. A man has a sinful nature that he received at birth. It is the Adamic nature that he inherits. A sinful man cannot please God. He is being in his own sin. I almost guarantee that we all could quote this verse right here. In fact, I think I was talking about it before the service. Because you see, Christ can save sinners, and I do believe that our salvation is eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Once saved, a born-again Christian has a new nature. He is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and this new nature is at war with the old nature. So let's close with these words from Jesus. John chapter 14, another familiar set of words here in verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you came to hear about Jesus tonight, I hope that you did. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I imagine at some point we may have some music in the background, but even if we didn't, let's have a moment of invitation. I'm not going to speak a lot here during this time. This was a pretty point-blank message. You have two forces that oppose us. You have Satan and you have the flesh. What are you wrestling with here tonight? The altar is open. I'm going to ask you to quietly stand, but go ahead. Let's come up here and have a moment on bended knee. I almost guarantee that each and every one of us is fighting with our flesh. Have that time with your Heavenly Father. Lay it into His hands. It can be a large battle in our life. The enemy within. Won't you come? Oh, won't you come? Maybe you can't come and kneel. There's plenty of space on this front row. We all have a battle. We all have the enemy within. And there's no better figure to put it into than God. I'm wondering if you're here tonight and you can publicly profess that you have your salvation, that you know exactly where you're going. If a tragedy was to happen here tonight, would you slip your hand up? There's many, many hands around. Oh, I can't tell if each and every person raised their hand, but if you're here tonight and you don't have that relationship, see, we don't believe in a religion, we believe in a relationship. I don't want you to part through those doors without seeking how you can have that precious gift. You know, salvation is like a life insurance policy that never expires. You have that eternal life. But without it, you have that eternal damnation. One of two places. We already said the verse tonight, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here tonight without Christ, I've been willing to stay and show you in his word how you can have that gift. You have to admit that you're a sinner. You have to believe in him. You have to have that childlike faith. You have to bring him into your heart. You have to call him in. Confess those sins. Ask for forgiveness. And call him in. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this morning and for tonight. Father, I thank you for this day in general. I pray for our upcoming week. I pray for whoever will be bringing the message on Wednesday. May it be a message that you place upon their heart, one relayed for us. I pray for our families. I know many are under the weather or have other health concerns. I pray for those who are traveling. I lift them up. I ask for travel mercies. And I ask for a hedge of protection around us as we depart here tonight. Bring us back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.